These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs. Crack on.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts. This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and you're welcome to The Big Tech Show with me, Adrian Weckler. Now, Apple has a new MacBook Air, but is it worth getting? There is one important new feature for those who use their laptops as desktop computers, but for anyone else, is this worth bothering with? Is it better to get this than, for example, an entry-level MacBook Pro, or maybe even the existing MacBook Air M2, which just got a €100 price cut, and which is really an excellent laptop? Well, I've been testing the MacBook Air M3 for the last week and have come to some conclusions about this. JJ Clark, welcome to the podcast. Ask me anything.
Right. So I was on Apple.ie before this and I was looking, as you said, at the MacBook Air M2 and it came in at €1,249, so €1,249. Mm. And the M3 is coming in, M3 MacBook Air, at €1,349. Yeah. What's the big distinguishing feature?
There are only three differences at all. The main one, actually, for people who use their laptop with external monitors, so this is really a work case, is that the new MacBook Air M3 can support two external monitors at the same time with the lid closed. So if you're somebody that really likes to have an awful lot of screen real estate in front of you to get things done, you like plonking files, navigating around different screens, the MacBook Air M2 cannot do this. What it can do is it can support an external monitor with its own screen still open. The new model can support an external monitor with the screen open or two external monitors with the lid closed.
Right. And that clamshell mode where you have to shut down your own laptop, does that necessitate then you need a USB or connected keyboard and
mouse? You need a
different
keyboard then, yes,
right.
to use it. But so for those who are interested in that, that's one reason to get it. It is faster because it has the new M3 chip rather than the last year's M2 chip, and that's about 15, 16, 17% faster. If you're into it, there's a new, more smudge-resistant midnight color, which is the model test model I have, which is kind of a dark blue-black. And the problem with the last version of this, even though it looks great, is it's an absolute fingerprint smudge magnet. And there's one tiny other difference as well, and that's that the storage on the new MacBook Air M3 is accessed quicker than the storage on the MacBook Air M2 because it has two drives instead of one. So the read and write speeds are about a third faster than the last one. But really, you're talking about very marginal updates here now. Now, there would be a reason to get the M3 over the M2 if you want the 15-inch version. So the MacBook Air comes in two versions, 13.6-inch and 15.3-inch. Now, so it really does depend on what size screen you want. If you want the larger size screen, that only comes in the MacBook Air M3.
Is this just for the domestic user, though, or is it for the sort of work/casual user that you describe?
I mean, it's pretty light. So the larger one is only 1.5 kilograms. It's a very light, thin laptop for what you're getting in terms of the power under the hood. So, people would bring 15-inch laptops around with them. So if you want that, it has to be the M3. And mm-hmm. that starts at $1,649.
Yeah, that's not inconsequential for, you know.
No, but if you want a bigger screen and a laptop, you are going to be willing to pay €200 or €300 more for it if you're going to use it for 3 or 4 years. If you want the smaller screen, which actually isn't that much smaller. It's 13.6 inches. If you consider that the MacBook Pro, it comes in two models, 14-inch and 16-inch, the 13.6 inch is pretty close in size to the 14 inch in terms of screen size. And that starts at 1249 for the M2 and 1349 for the M3. So I don't know if I'm choosing, if for my work purposes, for example, there isn't really anything that the M3 offers that the M2 doesn't. I own an M2. I own a 13.6 inch MacBook Air M2. And honestly, for my work purposes, I can't see why I would get a MacBook Air M3.
Right. And on that point, so when you compare that to the M3, the current MacBook Air M3 chip version versus the M2, not that much difference. But when you compare it to the M1 chip in the older models.
Yeah, there's a significant difference. So, and just to be, yeah, that's a good point, because to clarify here, up until a week ago, you could buy the MacBook Air M1 from Apple, and you're still going to see quite a lot of them in stores and shops, resellers, Harvey Norman, Currys, the usual. So for many people, there will be a choice there to buy either an M1, an M2, or an M3. At this point, I wouldn't get an M1. Now, there were significant differences between the M1 and the M2 anyway.
The design was Intel before that as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, now that's you're going back. Apple hasn't sold Intel chip MacBook Airs for 4 years, right. 5 years. Really, if you have one of those, it's worth your while upgrading to any of the M chip laptops, even the M1 MacBook Air. But the difference between the M1 and the M2 was you'd a significantly better screen, 25% brighter, better keyboard, nicer design, better webcam, which can be important. So 1080p instead of 720p, which was important to me. Fingerprint Touch ID to access. Just overall a better laptop.
But is that the expectation now with these MacBook Pro and Air updates, is that they're going to be marginal gains every time rather than, and you're almost going to have to skip two before you get something mind-blowing?
No, because if you think Apple went from the Intel era MacBook Air and MacBook Pro to the M chip MacBook Air MacBook Pro, that was a step change. That was an absolute game changer. Battery life was the big thing.
Yeah.
So if you have a MacBook Air with an Intel chip, it doesn't matter what it is, i3, i5, i7, whatever it is, you will get an absolute maximum, even at its peak, even when it was new, of about 8 hours use out of it, 7-8 hours use. With an M series chip, it's double that. You will get 12, 13, 14, 15 hours use from a single charge,
right,
on either the M1, M2 or M3 models. So Apple does make step changes from time to time. There was less of a change between the M1 and the M2 MacBook Airs. There was a physical design change, and that was good. And there's almost no change between the M2 and M3 versions. Now,
right,
the M2 came out 2 years ago, because I bought one when it came out. It came out summer 2 years ago, and I bought one right away. So it's been almost 2 years. And this M3 version, I mean, it's still, look, the MacBook Air is the best-selling laptop in the world for a reason, because it probably, on balance for what you're paying, is probably overall the best laptop you can buy if you are in a certain cohort. You're in that sort of majority, 67%, 60 or 70%. You maybe want to use it for a bit of work. You want to use it for leisure, for movies, for browsing the web, social media, maybe editing photos, maybe editing videos. That whole cohort, the non-hardcore professional cohort, it's probably the best.
Yeah, the sort of standard knowledge worker. And I'm interested in the...
And student as well.
Yeah. And as well, you're talking about parents looking for a recommendation to buy their kids for starting college or whatnot. But the idea that they've focused externally in the past and now they're working inwards, so that being the chip and the speed and how fast games render and ray tracing.
Yeah, in games. You're really into MacBook Pro there, and you're really into graphics professionals. The only time you will hear the term ray tracing is when you're talking about someone who's into gaming or who's into developing, you know, games or
right,
heavy
which
graphics.
Is a lot of people, though.
No, it's not. I mean, so it would. So if you're into gaming for a laptop, for example,
yeah, it's
you're not going to be buying a MacBook,
right?
So the amount of people who game overall, like in total, it's probably between 5 and 10% maximum
of MacBook users.
No, of all people.
Okay, I'd debate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So if you look at the number of Sony PlayStations, of Xboxes, of Nintendos, of gaming PCs, of NVIDIA cards that are sold, cumulatively, you can put together a figure of it's well under 10%. Now, if you include gaming as being Candy Crush on your smartphone, then it's much higher.
Yes.
But for what you're talking about in the context of ray tracing is typically where you can see in a game, for example, you'll see someone moving through a sandbox or whatever, and you'll see the shadows shift in much more realistic real
right,
time.
Or a character moving through rain.
Yeah. Brilliant. It's absolutely amazing. Mm. But the amount of people who play those games is relatively small.
Yeah. And it, just to point out, I was watching a review of this, of ray tracing and gameplay on MacBook Pro Air M3 version.
Oh, you can do it.
And the guy who was reviewing it said this is a higher quality frame rate than the PS5.
Oh yeah. That's, I mean, you can absolutely do it. And every single MacBook launch I go to with Apple, they always reserve about 2 or 3 minutes to show off how this can be used for gaming and how the chip is so good for it and all that. I totally get it. And I totally get that once you're in that space, it can be a very long lasting and loyal and profitable space. People who game will game for 10 or 20 years, right into their middle ages. But most people don't game. So just in terms of who I imagine the majority of the audience for the MacBook Air is the best-selling laptop in the world. It is a mass-market laptop. It's the kind of thing that a college student, a secondary school student, like almost every single office worker, kind of freelance people, self-employed, like parents, mothers, fathers, grandparents, that's the kind of the market. It's not so much someone who might be trying to get an Alienware PC with an NVIDIA card.
Understood. And then just on the physical, the ports on the side, there's two now, USB-C.
Same as last time.
Yeah. I find that very irritating just on a level. Have they not been brought to heel for this by the EU on changing the ports?
Oh, no. Well, the ports are USB-C ports. So they're Thunderbolt USB-C. So that is the EU standard.
That's okay. Universal.
So, but in terms of what most normal people use or access on a laptop for ports, really you'd be hard pushed for it to more than two ports. Now, if you get a MacBook Pro, you'll get more ports. You'll get a memory card port as well. You've got a HDMI port, which you can use for, you know, other applications, for video stuff, for presentations as well. But for most people who don't do that kind of stuff, really two USB-C ports is probably all the way. It's two USB-C ports plus a special MagSafe charging port, separate one.
Yeah.
So you can charge it either through the USB-C port, in which case you'd be using one of the ports, and then you use the other port for something else. I don't know, maybe a thumb drive or maybe an accessory. But the chances of you using more than one accessory with your laptop are small enough.
Right. And the MagSafe is just a charging cord that's magnetically activated.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So the laptop meets the EU standards by being able to be charged via USB-C, which it can be, which is very, very handy.
And are we saying then that this is a fantastic laptop and it's gen purpose for everyone, fantastic, but if you have an M2 MacBook Air already, maybe...
Oh, maybe. Absolutely. If you have an M2 MacBook Air, unless you are one of the small number of people who absolutely have to have two external displays, that you're bringing it into work, for example, and you really like, and you've just been told, by the way, you've just been provisioned with a second external display at your desk. There are some people who will be in that position. Or you're working at home now. You're now predominantly working 3 days a week at home or more. And you've got it. You've built out a home office and you decided, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to build more displays. You might justify it then on that basis. And let's say you don't need the extra power that a MacBook Pro has. You don't need the extra ports. You don't need the better screen on the MacBook Pro, because there are some very good reasons to get a MacBook Pro. Mm. So the way the price differential works out, the cheapest MacBook Pro you can buy now is a 14-inch MacBook Pro. Costs just over $2,000, okay? And that comes with a base level of storage at 512 gigabytes, which is twice what you get in the base MacBook Air. It's 256 gigabytes. If you were to spec up the MacBook Air to 512 gigabytes, it's like €1,849 or €79. You're within €200 of a 14-inch MacBook Pro. Now, at that point, you're starting to think, well, the MacBook Pro might be a little bit heavier, but it has more ports. The screen is considerably better. Like, it's twice as bright at peak brightness. The speakers are considerably better. If you are the type of person who, for every reason, wants to play something back on the laptop itself, way, way better. And it just is probably a slightly more durable laptop all around. So if you're going to that level, I could see why you would get a...
you'd upgrade to the Pro.
You might upgrade to the Pro. That's the 15-inch MacBook Air versus the 14-inch MacBook Pro. If you're getting a 13-inch MacBook Air, it'd be cheaper. It'd be about €400 cheaper.
And with that, I'm interested also in... You tested... just the larger version of the MacBook Air.
That's the one I have at the moment. My test model is the 15-inch midnight, so bluey black, relatively smudge-free, not completely smudge-free. 512 gigabytes of storage, 16 gigabytes of RAM. That's the test model they gave me. So, and that's slightly difficult to compare with my 8 gigabyte RAM M2 model. And look, when I bought the M2 MacBook Air, I deliberately went for the entry level, the 8 gigabytes of RAM, 256 gigabytes of storage, because honestly, it's absolutely enough.
You've never ran into the edges of that storage?
No, certainly not. No, I really haven't. Now, if I was rendering stuff, if I was, for example, editing this podcast and I needed to render stuff, and particularly if we were adding video to it, I would not do that on an 8 gigabyte MacBook Air. I could, but it's going to take twice as long as it would on MacBook Pro with 16 gigabytes, or ideally 32 gigabytes of RAM.
Right. Just finally on the distinguishing, what puts MacBook Airs and just MacBook laptops in general above a competitor like, Lenovo ThinkPad, Duet 5 or something?
There's always been this, I suppose, divide between Macs and PCs, which was primarily based on software. So Apple was always slightly ahead in being user-friendly from the 80s, when they first introduced what was kind of an earlier version of Windows before Microsoft released Windows. I remember using a Mac SE all-in-one computer, which in 1987, and I remember using a mouse and having a cursor and being able to open files and windows and dragging things around, drag and drop. That didn't come to Microsoft till 1991, something like that. So that there's always been that distinguishing feature based on the software. I would still argue, being a user of both, that Macs are still slightly quicker and slightly easier to use for, non-technical professionals. If you just want to turn the machine on and get to something, there are fewer pop-ups. There are fewer screens when you open. Even setting one up, it's considerably quicker on a Mac. You go through less screens. You go through less questionnaires.
Is that Jobs' philosophy kind of bleeding down?
I'm not sure. It might have, yeah. Like, well, simplicity. Jobs' whole thing was, how can I How can I impress somebody with this machine to sell it to them? That was his whole philosophy.
Mm. Clean as well.
Yeah. And, whereas Bill Gates' version was more, how can we make a usable computer? Anyway, so I guess what I'm really saying here is the MacBook Air M3 is actually one of the, if not the best laptop you can buy, but there's very little difference between it and the MacBook Air M2. So if you're coming to this fresh, if you're moving from an older MacBook or if you're thinking into getting a MacBook for the first time, I would probably, and if you want a 13-inch laptop, I should add, I would probably get a MacBook Air M2. I think it's probably slightly better value and for what you're getting. But if you want those extra monitors, if for some reason you need faster storage access on the entry-level model, if you really don't like the idea of smudges on your midnight-colored MacBook Air, then you can go for the MacBook Air M3. And that's basically how it shakes out. I hope that has been clear. JJ Clark, thank you for participating in this. JJ also produced this episode, and Rory Bones was on sound. But for me, Adrian Weckler, that's all for now. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them, like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with the Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs. Crack on.